Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. My guest today is from ZipMex. They're a digital asset exchange focused on providing retail and institutional investors the ability to invest securely in digital assets, which is what we're going to be looking at today. ZipMex says they're in the business of supporting the nascent growth of the global digital assets industry. We'll take a big picture approach so that you can get a sense of that industry this morning. ZipMex says they found a near 2,000% rise in crypto trading from March to May this year across Southeast Asia, with 20,000 new users acquired over the past 3 months. And they've also seen a over 1,200% increase in trading in Litecoin in particular. You might be wondering, what is Litecoin? It was created back in 2011 as a fork of Bitcoin. And since then, it's grown from a price of zero to a multi-billion dollar project. So what is Litecoin? Is it gaining traction? Why is it different from Bitcoin? Among the questions that we put today to my guest, Marcus Lim, CEO and co-founder of ZipMex. How are you, Marcus?
I'm great. Yourself, Michelle?
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us. I wonder if we could start with an understanding of what ZipMex is and what you allow traders to do.
Sure. Yeah. So ZipMex is a, you know, our vision is to be a digital asset, the most trusted digital asset exchange in Southeast Asia. So we're currently headquartered in Singapore. You know, we have offices in Thailand, and we're actually have been licensed in Thailand, and we just activated by the SEC as of last week. So we're actively, we're open for business actually as of this week. Also in Indonesia. In Indonesia, we're regulated by the BABT, which is the Commodities and Futures Trading House government organization. And we're also in Australia, where we're actually, you know, regulated by AUSTRAC. So we are in, you know, four of these countries, so Singapore, Thailand, Indonesia, and Australia. And so what we do is we allow, you know, investors in these, in each of these countries mm-hmm. to invest in digital assets, through, you know, their local currency. So, so digital assets being, you know, Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, you know, stable digital currencies like USDT, like a stable coin. So, and a whole range of other different digital assets as well. So investors can essentially, you know, buy these digital assets using their local currencies, whether it's Thai baht, Indonesian rupiah, or Australian dollars, or even Singapore dollars and US dollars. So we're the only regional digital asset exchange in this area that is fully licensed. And, you know, for us, you know, we want to build a trust in the community with our investors. And so, you know, being regulated is extremely important to us. We provide a platform for both retail investors. So anyone who, you know, has very little experience in trading, who want to kind of get into the market, we assist them to onboard. Then we also kind of cater for, you know, more sophisticated investors. Investors with, you know, larger sums of investment that they want to deploy. So we also assist them with that. So it's a kind of a full spectrum of investors that we kind of cater to. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, the way we see the industry kind of evolving is that, you know, the next evolution, you know, for digital payments is in digital assets, where the ability to kind of tokenize, you know, assets moving forward. So, you know, what's really popular right now is, you know, tokenizing kind of real estate projects, you know, where, you know, real estate companies and funds can actually raise, you know, money from the public. So that's, you know, happening in Singapore, you know, happening in Thailand and also in Indonesia. So there are the multitude of different ways of which, you know, different types of assets can be tokenized. And the form of a token essentially kind of leads back to its origin, which is using blockchain technology. And I guess for your users, you know, they're probably asking, what is blockchain? Well, it's essentially a decentralized ledger That keeps track of all transactions that happen.
I think listeners are also wondering what's the difference between a token and cryptocurrency, or token and Bitcoin or Litecoin, for example.
Yeah, so I mean, so Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It's the first. It's used as a form of a digital payment, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, it started back in, 2009, when, Satoshi Nakamoto wrote the first white paper. And it's supposed to be a peer-to-peer value transfer, right? So people are able to kind of send these tokens to one another mm-hmm. Through this decentralized ledger, right? And is able to exchange value through that, right? In a very seamless and transactionless, or rather kind of, transaction fee, without, any transaction fee to one another. That's kind of the whole purpose of it. And the whole of the idea about this decentralization is that the transaction is a public record, and so everyone has transparency and can see all the transactions that happen, and it's not owned by anyone. It's not owned by a bank, it's not owned by a central government, so no one can actually kind of control it. It's owned by the entire community.
But a token has its own it's different in terms of the blockchain.
Okay, so the token itself, it still relies on the blockchain. Mm-hmm. Now, the blockchain, since its origin of where it came from, which is from derived from Bitcoin, has obviously improved along the way. So different tokens can have a different blockchain technology solution, right? And there's a different variants of different things. So, for example,
is this a standalone blockchain for a token?
So, Bitcoin, for example, is its own standalone, blockchain. Mm-hmm. And then, you've got Litecoin, which is its own standalone. You've got Ether, which is its own standalone, or Bitcoin Cash, or Ripple, which is a centralized token. Actually, it's on its own kind of standalone blockchain itself. So, but there are other tokens that rely on existing blockchain technology. So, for instance, the most popular stable coin at the moment is USD Tether, right? Which is a token that represents one US dollar, right? So, for every token, there is one US dollar that's in a bank, right? So that is actually on top, that uses the Ethereum blockchain. Right. Okay. And it's called an ERC-20 token.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, we're reading in the news about how Tesla's stock has soared because of tens of thousands of Robinhood users flocking to buy it. Have you seen a boom in new users given this period of time with such volatility in markets?
Yeah, we have also seen, a very kind of similar trend here. And the reason for that is because, during this period of COVID-19, as you are aware, lots of governments around the world have, printed money mm-hmm. and have distributed this, to the public. And people have taken, this spare cash and to kind of generate income, because for a lot of them, either have been furloughed or made, redundant. And so, they need to kind of find alternative sources for income. And so trading is something that is, purely online now, does not require you to kind of be physically doing any work. And so people have, been able to access these trading platforms like Robinhood, like us, and a whole bunch of others around the world, where you can easily kind of sign up, conduct your KYC, which is know your customer, so in providing all your personal information. And then once you're verified as a customer, then being able to easily kind of deposit your local currency and then be able to kind of buy and sell these assets and be able to take part in, the volatility of the market, which is, and so, with volatility in the market, there's obviously a lot of opportunity to kind of make money, whether, you can kind of long an asset or you can short an asset. And so, Bitcoin was the same as well. Bitcoin had been, unfortunately, I feel kind of correlated to the traditional stock market, so it has been very volatile as well. And so therefore it presents the opportunity for these investors to be able to make money out of it.
I'm speaking with Marcus Lim, CEO and co-founder of ZipMix, and we're taking a look at crypto trading this morning. Marcus, share with us your thoughts on how the recent COVID-19 crisis has affected crypto markets in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, so it definitely has pushed the agenda for digital payments. What we've seen recently, is, for example, the Chinese government is coming out with a digital yuan. And so, because with everything going online now and people are being pushed to do shopping online even more so now with e-commerce, the push for digital payments is stronger than ever. And that really is what, cryptocurrency and Bitcoin originally was set out to do, was to, provide this method of value transfer to be as simple and easy as possible. And so, the adoption rate of cryptocurrency and digital payments have actually, has accelerated during this COVID-19. And that's, essentially what we've seen in Southeast Asia as well. And for, specifically kind of mobile payments, where in Southeast Asia, there's a huge trend towards that. We've seen it with Indonesia, we've seen that with Thailand, and obviously with other parts of Southeast Asia. That trend has definitely accelerated. So there's definitely more use of that. Having said that, obviously, with any new technology that we've seen with the internet and online payments, there's always bad actors in the system. Mm. And so there are, a lot of cyber crimes still happen, which is part and parcel of, a maturing technology or, a trend that is happening in the market. So we've seen that with the internet. We've seen that with, kind of credit card payments when it first came out, payments online. There was a lot of fraud. So we're seeing that as well for digital payments. For us as part of the ecosystem is to be able to work together to kind of build a secure manner in which people can transact and also to keep, customers and also investors' funds secure.
So one Litecoin is about $61.12 Singapore dollars. Understand there's been an over 1,000% increase in trading in Litecoin. Can you tell us why Litecoin in particular seems to be gaining traction?
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Litecoin hasn't really been top of the headline, previously, and has been sitting at, kind of a top five, to top 10 kind of position in the market for a very long time. And the focus has always kind of been with Bitcoin. And typically, what's happened is, for the crypto market, whenever the crypto market kind of rises, Bitcoin is always the first to rise. Mm-hmm. And then, subsequently what happens is the other tokens, the top nine tokens will then kind of rise accordingly as well. And there has been a significant kind of interest in Litecoin, there's a whole reason for it, but, one of it being obviously kind of speculative, people seeing it as, has potential in its project. And so therefore there has been, a lot of kind of investment into that. People kind of recognize the technology, for what it's supposed to do. So therefore, people continue to kind of invest in it. But for what we see is, obviously there is a huge kind of positive, investor sentiment, amongst retail investors, and very similar to kind of stocks like Tesla, for example, where there's kind of huge public, sentiment for that particular company. And so therefore people kind of drive up the share price, in this case, kind of the price of the token of Litecoin, and therefore we kind of seen this, huge acceleration in price for Litecoin.
So Litecoin was created back in 2011, sort of as a quarter of Bitcoin or a fork of Bitcoin. Why has it outperformed Bitcoin for several years after its launch?
Yeah, it has. It has outperformed because I think kind of going back to the start when Bitcoin was launched, back in 2009. The original technology that was, developed, people obviously kind of saw that there are a lot of flaws and also kind of improvements that can be had with the with that technology. And so Litecoin, you know, and all these forks that came out after as well, the whole idea was to kind of, you know, have these improvements in the actual code base itself. And so, you know, Litecoin was one of them. Bitcoin Cash is another one, is another fork as well. So, you know, the whole idea was to kind of make this technology more scalable at the end of the day, which then essentially will have, you know, drive better adoption, right? So the whole kind of thesis around a lot of these forks like Litecoin is that they make these improvements in the technology, the existing technology, mm-hmm. right, with the view that it would become more scalable, which gives rise to the adoption. So that's the whole reason why.
So you allow traders to trade in several different types of cryptocurrency on your platform. Can you give us a sense of how cryptocurrencies have performed during the pandemic, during this time of, you know, huge, inexorable change?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what we saw on the 23rd of March was they call it the Black Thursday. And then, you know, obviously before that was like, the Black Monday, 1987. And what we saw was obviously, a precipitous drop in the stock market and also with a huge correlation in cryptocurrencies as well, where, you know, we saw Bitcoin and, you know, dropping from, you know, 7,000 to, you know, 3,500. And, you know, now it has kind of obviously recovered to about 9,300.
Marcus, are you with us? He seems to have...
And the thing is, yeah. And what we saw as well with cryptocurrencies is that we've seen, you know, the halving event for Bitcoin happened, you know, on the 12th of May.
Yeah.
And that was a huge event, right? So let me explain what the halving is.
Yes,
so the halving is... Yeah, sure. Built into the Bitcoin program is that for every 4 years, the block reward is halved, and so what that means is that the miners are the ones that actually power the network, so they are the ones who verify every single transaction on the blockchain itself, right? And these miners need to be incentivized to do so, and the incentives that they get is basically with freshly minted bitcoins, right? So before that, they had, you know, 12 and a half bitcoin for every transaction, which is every 10 minutes, right? And these 12 and a half will then be distributed to the miners who actually verify the blockchain itself. Now, 12 and a half for every 10 minutes basically means that there's 12 and a half bitcoin going into the circulating supply. And what happened on the 12th of May is that block reward had halved, right, to 6.25. So that means that the miners are getting less Bitcoin for the same amount of work and same amount of resources that they contribute to verifying the network.
So people assume that with the halving comes a diminishing of supply and therefore prices would go up. But that didn't happen this year, did it?
Well, there was actually a price increase from about, you know, 7,500 all the way up to about 10,000. So there was that rise. It did not reach a previous high, which is at $20,000, but it did see a significant rise from, you know, 7,000 odd to about like $10,000. And then obviously it kind of corrected after the halving to, you know, about 8,900. And then it's just been, you know, kind of sitting around the 9,100 to 9,300 range for the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. So the volatility of Bitcoin had been really low over the last 6 weeks. But that's also the other factors as well is, you know, for people who were investing in Bitcoin had, you know, now kind of diverted themselves to, you know, the stock market as well. So there's kind of this kind of back and forth here where, you know, these retail investors are, you know, on Robinhood as well, like they're able to kind of invest in crypto, Bitcoin and Ether, is they've been investing in stock and also in cryptocurrency at the same time. So not just Robinhood, but also the Cash App, you know, from the Square company in the US has also kind of enabled their retail and, you know, customers to be able to invest into digital assets as well. So we see a lot of kind of retail investors definitely obviously coming in, but also the institutional investors. institutional investors are, you know, getting into this game, you know, through the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which is also based in the US. And they've also seen a huge amount of money coming in. The fund is worth about $3.5 billion now. Prior to COVID-19, prior to 2020, you know, it was sitting at, less than $2 billion. So that has, you know, dramatically kind of increased over the last kind of 6 months as well. And the fund's been around for a number of years. So there's definitely a lot more interest coming in. Retail investors are definitely more savvy now. There's definitely more, positive sentiment into the market. And obviously, you know, for Bitcoin, you know, kind of going back to the halving is the theory behind the halving is that because the block reward halves, essentially for the miners in order for them to cover the cost, they would have to sell their Bitcoins for more than what they used to, and also because there's less supply. Right. So if you kind of look at kind of fundamental economics, when you have kind of less supply and assuming demand is the same, then price should increase theoretically. So, you know, this is very and this is the converse to what's happening in the U.S., where the Federal Reserve is printing money. It's printed over $2 trillion, as we all know. And so it's the basement of the actual U.S. dollar, whereas with Bitcoin it's actually hardening. So it's becoming scarcer and scarcer.
All right. Share with us your outlook for cryptocurrency for the rest of 2020 for investors wondering, you know, which to look at in terms of coins.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think for the general outlook, you know, I think there's definitely positive momentum around behind it. As more kind of exchanges or countries start regulating this space, I think that will bring a lot more public trust into the space, which is important. So therefore, people will feel more comfortable, investing, knowing that, you know, these exchanges like us, you know, are regulated by the government. I think that's one. And in Singapore, MAS has made a, you know, very concerted effort with coming up with the Payment Services Act on the 28th of January, where, you know, exchanges like us can apply, but, you know, not just exchanges, but a whole bunch of other, you know, payment issuers or e-money providers are also kind of applying for this license. So I think as the space gets more regulated, it's really good for the industry, and as people would trust it a lot more. In terms of what to buy, I mean, for me, I'm still very old school. So I still, you know, go for the digital gold standard, which is Bitcoin. It has, you know, stood the test of time. It's been around for 11 years. You know, it's the first of its kind. And, you know, there's a lot more trust and brand equity around this particular token. So, you know, I would kind of recommend to investors, you know, if they were to invest, is, you know, to kind of look at, you know, Bitcoin.
In spite of the fact that in the first, the three most traded digital currencies at the height of the pandemic, Bitcoin was at number three, but Litecoin was at number one?
Yeah, for on our exchange, that's what we saw. Obviously, there's some, you know, kind of irregularities because of, you know, the markets that we serve and, you know, and the demographics that we're, you know, serving, because, you know, they just have different appetite for certain tokens. But I wouldn't say that, you know, kind of globally, that's, you know, they're reflective of, you know, of the, you know, kind of the trading sentiment.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your insights. He's Marcus Lim, CEO and co-founder of ZipMix, joining me this morning in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.